Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Raise one hand, sister. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we believe and receive accuracy of doctrine and instruction. In our minds, we hear clearly the voice of your Spirit. We believe and receive. There is no error or confusion in our minds or in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service and in this teaching, he is glorified. As we are edified together with the body of Christ, amen. Matthew's gospel, now we are getting to the very crucial aspect of this series. And Matthew's gospel 1, verse 1. The writer here, who is Matthew, says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, so the writer here wants us to go to the Old Testament, to study, and to, you know, I just run through the intro quickly because of our time today. And he wants us to go back to the Old Testament. So the background of New Testament text remains the Old Testament. So he talks about Jesus here as the son of Abraham and the son of David. Like we've always said, if you pick that text and you see Genesis 5:1, it's mirrored from there. Matthew's Gospel 28 and 20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew opens up Matthew talking about Jesus as a man. And closing it is that Jesus is God. I am with you always is God's signature in scripture. In Mark's gospel 1:1. Now when he says, I am with you again, it's an Old Testament description of God. So God doesn't change in the New Testament, as we call it today. He's the same. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Mark's gospel 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As written in the prophet, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which will prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Mark takes us to Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 43, which is what we've been saying. When you read the New Testament, you keep reading backwards to understand what they're saying. To understand the Old Testament, you read forward. To understand the New Testament, you read backwards. Mark 16 and 20. I'll start from 19. So therefore the Lord has spoken unto them. He was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Right hand of God is a description of God in the Old Testament. In the Exodus, in the book of Psalms, the right hand refers to God's manifestation. So if Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, it means he is God. And in verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord walking with them, them italicized there, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So you have, Jesus is called here Lord, Adonai in the Hebrew, or Yahweh. He is God. So the four gospels, I told you earlier that I'm teaching you and using this template, deliberately for the purpose of a teaching we want to embark on next year on the four gospels. So pay very good attention. So, what we have in the four Gospels is God as a man. What is the theology there? We will find out. In Luke's Gospel 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us. Verse 2, even as he delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus. Again, this writer, Luke, he's giving us a background of taking these things from other people who are ministers of the word and eyewitness, which means he relies primarily on those who probably have written before or were present in the scenes of the four gospels. Luke's gospel 24. And verse 25. I'll start from 27 actually. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke also takes us back to the Old Testament. Reading backwards. Learn to read texts of scriptures backwards. What was before it? Genesis to Malachi. Verse 44. These are the words which I speak to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Sunni Amin. To read the scriptures together. True Bible study is not to isolate Bible texts, is to read them together. Reading backwards. John 1:1. In the beginning. Everybody uses the phrase for beginning. Matthew 1:1. Mark 1:1. Luke 24:27. And Luke 24:44. Here you find John again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the Word there is not a speech. Old Testament vocabulary is the word Daba, Yahweh, the Word of the Lord. And we saw the Word of the Lord in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:8, walking. Words don't work. It's a person who walks. So Word, even though it is a Greek word, logos, is primarily that description of God's manifestation, visible manifestation in the Old Testament. As we have said often, Jesus is not a prediction of the Old Testament. He is a personality in the Old Testament who interacted with the individuals that God used. From all the patriarchs, he interacted with Adam, Eve. Jesus was physically, not as a man, present in the Old Testament. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Gives us a scenario, again, of Genesis 3:8. It's not the first time you do it. Genesis 3:8 is walking in the garden, a tabernacle of a sort. And yet again, he does this, but now as a man. In John 20:22, he breathed on, or breathed, and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And that repeats what happens in Genesis 2 and 7. So put this somewhere. Matthew to John is equal to Genesis to Malachi. Let me put it again. Just like you say, 1 is equals to 1. 2 is equals to 2. Matthew to John is equal to Genesis to Malachi. That is it. What you have in Genesis to Malachi is what you have in Matthew to John. Moses writing about Jesus in John 5:46 means he talked about the Lord who walked with him. Jesus, therefore, is not a prediction of the Old Testament. He is a personality you will find in the Old Testament. So quickly, we said there are 7 ways to interpret, for now, 7 ways to interpret a Bible text. Every time you open the Bible, you are interpreting it. Every time you talk about it, you are interpreting it. Either you are misinterpreting it or interpreting it properly. So we said there are 7 ways to interpret a Bible text. So the first thing to realize, above all, is that the Bible was never in chapters and verses. That is very critical at this point. I agree with those who say this, that breaking the scriptures into verses has done more damage. I agreed with them to an extent. I think those who did it had noble intentions. I'm not sure of how much help it is for now, as at now. Because it has abridged our thinking of scriptures. We're not thorough, and then you have a lot of people quoting it out of context. So therefore, you need to learn to read your Bible without the verses. When you use verses, ensure it's just to reference. It is not to give understanding. So the first thing is to understand. One, which we said, read the Bible like a conversation. Words that were taken from another book. A continual conversation. Brother Hagin will call it progressive revelation. Like Malachi referred to Isaiah. Malachi 3:1 refers to Isaiah 43. Isaiah refers to Exodus 23 verse 20 and 21. It can go on and on. So there is an ongoing conversation in scripture. So you cannot afford to read any Bible text in isolation. That's the first thing. Two. We said, look at the proper grammatical structure, which means you have the liberty in interpreting scripture to put it in paragraphs. Now, those who interpreted and translated try to do that by using chapters. Chapters are actually paragraphs. Sometimes they are right, sometimes they are wrong. Just like Genesis 1, you know, should have ended in Genesis 2:4. That gave a lot of misunderstanding. Genesis 1 should have ended in Genesis 2:4. Because when you read about chaos, Genesis 1:2, tohu bohu, the opposite of without form and void is rest. Rest means absence of chaos or order. That would have brought a lot of clarity if they were together in one chapter. So you have to look at the grammatical structure. Number 3, we said you must look at the meaning of the words, the grammatical meaning. Just like this morning in the earlier service, we looked at when the ground was cursed for man's sake. And I said, people have thought that that meant, or that should mean, physical prosperity or poverty. No. That's not what it means. So we looked at the grammatical meaning. Sometimes and many times, you need to see the grammar. So I've given you advice many times to cancel instruction. Look for Strong's Dictionary, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It's quite a good one. Thayer's Dictionary, and it's basic things. At least know basic things. Even when your pastor refers to the Greek words, go and check it. Is that clear? That's three. So four, we said, again, very important, that many texts are writing about another text. Look for the text that is writing about. And there's no other way to do it than to read books before it. The New Testament, more often than not, interprets the Old Testament. Look for the text. Then we said number five. What is the theology in the text that this text you are reading had? What was the theology in that first text or the primary text? Find it. Number six, we said, how does the New Testament apply it? How does the New Testament apply it? And number seven, how do you apply it into your world? So, what a journey to find the truth, explain it, and teach it. Now, we're looking at changing your clothes. Now, quickly, in first, let's see James 1 first. James 1. James says, in 22, James 1:21 says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. Now, if you look at that, and you look at Ephesians chapter 4, quickly, and verse 21 or 22, it says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the discipline of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then he says, put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put away lying. So, he uses a language of wearing something. Put on and put off. So, as believers, we have a responsibility to wear the right attitude. The same way you wear clothes is how you must wear the right attitude, the right disposition to things. So when James says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So he uses the mirror principle. He says he so looks at the perfect law of liberty, which is in verse 25. And it talks about the glass. We've done that study already. So you put off as you put on. Put on the old armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. Put off and put on. And in the Greek, like I explained in this series, it's a continual thing. You don't say, well, I put it on last week. No, it's something you do all the time. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, let me repeat the emphasis that we have made over a while. Good conduct for believers is not meant to hand you a place in heaven. It's not meant to earn you a place in Christ. No. A good godly conduct is God's will for the earth. You are actually doing what God wants for the earth. It is not to score points. That is why it's not, if you do it just to get to heaven, you become a hypocrite. You have other reasons in your mind apart from this is what is right. If there's any other reason why you are doing what is right, apart from the fact that it is right, then what you are doing is not right. This is what is right. So we put on this garment of conduct because that is how God wants mankind to look. We are in His image and after His likeness. Genesis 1:26 to 28. That is what we ought to be in the earth today. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you in church? 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter now addresses, looked at this last week, he addresses women who are married to non-Christians. Now, just like we sang, build your church, preach the gospel, many of us will assume that what is needed mostly in our families is to preach. Yes. You're right. You preach. But the preaching must be coupled with your conduct. Look at this. He said, if they will not be one, if they obey not the word, that is, they have not believed. You've preached the gospel. This is your husband, your spouse. You have preached the gospel. And this fellow is recalcitrant, adamant. You know, and he says, yeah. He says, however, they also may be without the word, won by the conversation, anatrophies, the behavior, the lifestyle of their wives. So we saw that in 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul says, why are you putting away your spouse? That is, you have already gotten married, then you got saved. Why putting away your spouse? How do you know you will not save? So last week I said, what is unique about the Christian relationship and marriage? It has to be salvation and God's plan in salvation. So our conduct therefore matters. I say, you need to know that without the word, this person may be one. Without the word. I recall one of these preachers, I don't want to mention name, and the wife was saved. The husband wasn't. She got born again. And the wife will drag him to church. One day, he's a very prominent televangelist. And he goes to church drunk. So one day he was totally drunk and Kenneth Copeland was preaching. Brother Copeland, we call him Brother Copeland, he's Papa Copeland, but that's how we call him. So he gets up and he's preaching. The guy is drunk. So he hears him say, that hymn now you said, you sang from is wrong. The scripture says, who is he? To say an hymn now is wrong. Is he God? He's not a Christian. He's arguing. He's not born again. The wife doesn't say, keep your mouth shut, you just go to hell. She comports herself. So they go home, that he never saw any Christian leave a sterling example like the wife. Not by prayer. Not you finish praying, then you are rude. I was speaking in tongues. What's that for? And based on the wife, interesting today, he's the more prominent preacher. Based on the wife's conduct, submissive, gentle, not the one that talks faster than Elohim. So we don't know talking too much is a sin. When you talk too much, you will lie. You will exaggerate. You will be rude. Even nature. You have two ears, one mouth. That's proper equation. That's how we got saved. And the Lord used her to lead the husband into his destiny. See, they can be won over. While they behold your chaste conversation. Chaste. Serious-minded conversation. Now, you know, this can apply to the family. Serious-minded conversation. Coupled with fear. It can apply to your class. To your workplace. Serious-minded. There was a brother who said they went for a luncheon of the company had to maybe get together or something. He's a pastor, known pastor in the firm. That's how the man of God got drunk. They took him home. We had to say, even pastor got drunk, we had to take him home. The man of God. And they took him. The next day, you now be saying, you know, the Greek word is soteria. Soteria, call. Small stout, isn't it? Whose adorning, he says, let it not be the outward adorning of plain of hair, of wearing of gold, or plume of apparel. Thank God for men who love us how we dress, and women who love how you put, how you know, in those days we call some guys and say, this guy is Rashidi. Indira Gandhi. That means you can dress. But you see, put your conduct first. What will help your marriage and relationships is not your dressing, physically speaking. Your conduct. Let it be not the outward adorning. You spent 8 hours doing braids. 8 hours is what is required because of the Great Commission on your head. It's fine. But you know something? No matter how much you do it, I know guys who that make their hair. Sometimes you go to the barber shop and you have to wait for 2 hours. One guy is cutting his hair. One guy. They have 4 people on the head. And he's coming back in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time. The same person, say prayer group. You say, I'm not a prayer warrior. What are you? Air warrior. So, he said, whose conversation? That is it. He said, it's of immortality. Incorruptible. I showed you that the other time. Then he showed you who to emulate. After this manner, verse 5. In the old time, holy women, also who trusted in God, so they trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Glory to God. You have to wear the right things as a believer. Not the way you look at what you are wearing and say, does this color match this color? And you check what you are wearing. Ensure you button properly. Ensure you tuck your shirt, stuff like that. Ensure you, the same way, pay attention to your conduct. Pay attention to your conduct. And conduct today is not just when you physically see people on the social media. Pay attention to your conduct. Pay attention to what you say. I told you, there is a spirit of, you know, I was saying this in a group 2 days ago, so 3 days ago. And they were talking about the country, and it was the country. I said, but when did people ever speak of the country doing well? They said, wait. So I gave them a song of the 1960s, complaining. 70s, grumbling. 80s, grumbling. 90s. I said, there's seemingly a spirit of complaining. And it's been passed from generation to generation. Just be complaining. And you're just angry for... You know, some of you are not angry because anybody made you angry. Someone just told you to be angry. Just like you go to church. You want to go and praise God. You say, you are more than this. Is this your destiny? There's more to you. And you just become unnecessarily agitated. You are happy. You said, look, God's will for your life is not to stay where you are staying. And you just got the house. I say, there is a day. I will get there. So you just pick up an ambition that was not your own. Start to pursue there. Before you become an arm robber. So the same thing. You just become angry. Just get to work. You're angry with your boss. Shagun, how are you? Fine, sir. What happened? Nothing, sir. Just thinking. What? I'll see you later. Somebody has cobalized you. You just read something. You're just angry. Some people read something and they just go home and go and insult their husband. Only, how are you? Am I a bee? Is that how your husband should behave? You've seen a movie where the guy opened the car, blow the car. Said, you can't even open the car for me. Where did you start? Where did you start? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Okay, go back inside the car so I can open it. Somebody just got you infuriated. Hallelujah. He says, our examples are those who trusted in God. Is that clear? Aha. In our conduct. Joel 2. Glory to God. Joel 2. And 13. He says, rend your now. He's talking about repentance. In verse 12. Therefore now, saith the Lord, turn ye now to me with all your heart. And with fasting and weeping and mourning. Look at 13. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Now why did he say that? Usually, when they want to demonstrate repentance, they do sackcloth and ashes. So they have a ceremony for repentance, which is taken from the Eastern culture. So he said, no. The use of sackcloth, which is what they do, in Genesis 37 and 34, 2 Samuel 1:11, you see, when a man wants to repent, he now puts sackcloth and ashes. I'm repenting. Job 1:20. 1 Kings 21:27. It says, the garments here is sackcloth. Now, let me just read those texts for you. Genesis 37 and 34. Jacob rent his clothes and put a sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son. That was when he thought that Joseph was dead. Then 2 Samuel 1:11. This is David. When he got the news, 2 Samuel 1:11. When he got the news of the death of Saul and Jonathan, he rent them. See? Job 1:20. Same thing with Job. 1 Kings 21:27. And that's drama. That is not repentance. Even though it could look like it, he said no. Rend your heart. And not your clothes. Why? Because the true garment is on your heart. Solomon says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Proverbs 23:7. So is he. Now the writer here says, why? He said, because God is gracious. Joel 2:13. You find that in Exodus 34:6. Gracious. And loving and kind. So he said, what he wants is your heart. Not garments. Not even your appearance. That's is your sincerity. Your true sincerity. Your true intentions. Psalm 34 verse 18. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them who are of a broken heart. And saveth such of a contrite spirit. Broken heart. So you can have sackcloth on your head and your heart is nowhere near repentance. It's a broken heart. A contrite spirit. Psalm 51 and 17. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. So, it's not, you come to the temple, you bring good sacrifices, but your heart is far from it. He said, no. That's what Jesus meant by true worship. True worship. A broken heart. A contrite spirit. Psalm 51. Here's David. Speaking, when the prophet Nathan had given him God's word. He said in 10, you create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He said, you create in me a clean heart. So the issue really is with our hearts. And that's why the new birth, Ezekiel 36 and 26 and 27, deals with our heart. So we have been given new clothes by Jesus, a new heart, and a new spirit. A new heart and a new spirit. We wear it. And one of the things we wear as believers, and I'm going to take some time on this one today, we wear the clothes of caution. What did I say? What did I say again? Wear the clothes of caution. 1 Corinthians 7. I read that last week. Caution. That is, as you step out in the morning, you wear deliberately a garment of caution on your heart. Because you can look conservative in your dressing, which is biblically good, and your heart is different. So always check what is on your heart. You know, a man can appear very conservative in his dressing and love money. And love money. That someone is wearing a long skirt, doesn't wear makeup, does not mean the person doesn't have sexual temptations and lusts that are very strong. So it's your heart that you look at. What is on your heart? That's the garment you must wear. Are you here? Very good. 1 Corinthians 7, we were there last week. Paul, in verse 31. I'll start from 30. They that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. That is, you should be conservative generally. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, that's the father of Pastor Hagin today, Kenneth E. Hagin, did say at some point that when he began the work of the ministry, Pastor John Austin is the father of Pastor Joel Austin, said to him, he said, Ken, always have caution to your life. Now let me give you the instruction. He said, when you can afford to run, crawl. When you can afford to walk, crawl. When you can afford to run, walk. When you can afford to fly, run. Always have caution. So I'll see in a moment. As a man begins to make money, and he has access to life's resources, he will also have the capacity to sponsor lusts. Yeah. He will have the capacity to finance lusts, L-U-S-T-S, and sin. Because money gives you a sense of freedom. A sense of freedom. That's why a lot of people preach it as true prosperity. And it's good to have money. I mean, that's true. Come on. Okay, give me the one in your pocket. If you're not raising your hand, come on. It's good to have money. You can, then you think you can have, you know, the first thing, I can afford the school fees now. I can afford this one. I can pay for this house. I can, you know, and that's all the first thing that first comes to your mind. But you can also afford sin. So in pursuit of material things, it comes with a baggage. So learn to cut down your attitude to those things. Watch this. Verse 31. They that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. The word abusing it means not to take advantage of it. A believer must know caution. The word here in the Greek is the word kraomai. C-R-A-O-M-A-I. It means don't take advantage of it. Like we said about money, you have the capacity to sponsor lusts. A preacher came to me some years back. And he said, he had made a lot of money. He got a lot of money. So he left the country. He said, he was now in this big hotel. And then he started seeing women in a 5-star hotel in Europe. He started seeing a lot of girls. And in this particular country, what do you call it now? They call them escorts. So it's a legal thing. You could get a woman just for sexual purposes and it's legalized. So he was saying, he was first talking like a righteous man. And he said, the apostle also said, ah! Wow! I mean, that's the first thing that I mean, you're a believer. So when he got to the room, he started thinking, so there are these available. Now, he didn't stop there. He now went back to the man downstairs and he says, how much did they get this kind, you know? The guy said, the informant said, so and so number. Eh? His head went into his account. You know, he said he did not know when he took his phone and contracted one. He said it was at the point that the lady had gotten to the hotel and called. He said, my faith failed. I said, did I call? He said, yes. He said, immediately he dropped the number, the phone. And of course, the hotel knew that the woman can't come without his permission. He said, they called and called. He was looking at the phone. So, by the next morning, he changed the hotel and went to stay with a friend. He said, this one will keep me from going to hellfire. Look at, you know, he started from, is it happening in this world too? How much is it? He said it was calculated. He now could sponsor it. And that's what money does. You have a sense of security. You have pride. If you have never been proud before, go and get money. What's pride? Pride is easy. They will just say, who are you talking to? They're looking at how much you now earn. What's this? Don't talk to me like that now. I'm head of marketing in my, I'm the group head of, you know, and that, but when you notice things like that, you are on your way to destiny. You are somewhere. So, money also gives you a sense of liberty. You can sponsor lust. Are you here? So we wear caution. And let me quickly mention this. You don't get good conduct only by meditating on the word and say, I am the righteousness of God. He Christ Jesus. It's good to say that. Sin has no power over me. You have to meditate on the instructions. The instructions. No matter how much of your rights in Christ you know, when it comes to sin, moral, and lust, you run. 1 Corinthians 6. Are you there? Verse 18, are you there? It says, flee! That's what it says. He didn't say speak the word. Flee. Where did he get this from? Genesis. Genesis chapter 40. 39, sorry. That's Potiphar's wife. Verse 20, 12, sorry. As she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. Now, notice verse 10. She spake to Joseph day by day, yakin not to her, to lie by her or to be with her. Look at two things. To lie by her or to be with her. Because one leads to the other. You get it? Say, no, there's no, don't be afraid, just to be together, just spend time together. It's when you are being with her that you lie with her. Now, why does she go to her? He go to her because he works there. And he has no right of employment. He can't change job. because of how he got to the country. He's not a freeborn. He's not a citizen. So what does he do? Look at verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. 13. Came to pass when she saw he had left his garment in her hand and had fled forth to run. He ran. A man of God, that's what he has got with him. He runs. Same thing you'll find in the life of Moses. Moses also ran. And Exodus in chapter 1, chapter 2. Verse 15. Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. We have two instances, two men we read of, that they fled. They ran. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11. Are you in church? By faith, 23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? The pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He fled. To run. Running and running away is a godly conduct. In Matthew 2:13, God gave Jesus, his parents, an instruction to run. Not the Holy Ghost with him. Watch this. That is by the Holy Ghost. You know, run. No. This one is run or else you're going to get into trouble. Matthew 2:13. The angel said to Joseph, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee." What's flee? Run. Not like our brother was jogging. Run. Run. Matthew 3:7. You have John the Baptist talking to the Pharisees. He says, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" To flee from the wrath to come. Matthew 24:16. When they come after him, Jesus said, "Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." So we have instructions by God's Spirit to run. I know when he says flee from the mountains, when the persecutors come or those who came to take their lives, you know, they are not going to jog. Has a dog chased you before? And you run. You really run. That's what's going on here. To run. The Greek of this word, P-H-E-U-G-O, it means to escape. It means to shun. It means to run fast. To escape. Now the negative ones, Matthew 26:56, where the disciples ran for fear. We also have a false prophet, a false pastor. He says, when the wolves, John 10, comes, John 10 verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So again, when it comes to false prophet, pardon me, you are meant to run. Run! Don't meditate upon it. He says, run! run very fast. There was a fellow I was listening to at some point, and I discovered that he began to twist scriptures around money. Money. Some point he said, even if you are not a Christian, if you can give, God will give you eternal life. As I heard it like this, I took all the teachings. No more. That's what we need to run. Because man is a product of what? Influence. Verse 12. An hireling also will run when the wolf comes. That's not a true shepherd. So we have instructions to run. In Acts 7. Acts 7, 29. Then fled Moses. We read that earlier. And 30. He fled. He ran. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 18. We have instructions to run. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. He says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 17. Flee fornication, he says. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that commits fornication sins against his own body. He says to run. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Run from idolatry. Run. That's how to do the word. Run. That's how to wear your clothes. Run. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. 1 Timothy, pardon me. 6, 11. For thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Flee. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Flee youthful lust. Don't say, I'm still young. It says, run from youthful lust. Hebrews 11, 34. Read that earlier. To run. 11, 34, sorry. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Talking about men and women, also about persecution. James 4, 7 says, resist the devil, we'll see that later, and he will flee from you. So how do I run? I run with my eyes. I run with my eyes. I run with my legs, my feet. I run with my whole body. I run with my mind. I run with my words. I run with my eyes. I run with my legs, with my whole body. I run with my mind. I run with my words. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, when we saw David, who obviously was a very careless person. So I refuse to be careless. A very careless Christian doesn't watch what he watches. Doesn't watch it. 2 Samuel 11. Look at how it happened. Verse 3. I'll start from 2. Came to pass in the evening tide, David arose from his bed and walked from the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw, so I'll say he saw, eyes. There's nothing you can do about that. Sometimes your eyes just go somewhere. He saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Even the writer writes it. So there's nothing to dodge there. Don't say, how can you write it? Tell him it. He looked. Then he started to plot. His mind now began to work. To imagine. His mind is now working. Who is her husband? Where is she? Who is it? And he started plotting. He moves from just a conception of thought is not working. Like they say, it's from clap, you enter dance. The fact that you couldn't control what you are looking at. Kept looking, kept looking, kept looking. Some say, have an addiction with pornography. I said, it's not an addiction. The moment you see naked people in anything, you're not supposed to say, why are they naked? Who asked you? You saw it. You saw a sight. You clicked. And some of you will take Facebook and begin to just scroll down. What are you looking for? One video leads to another video. To another video. That's what happened to David. He couldn't take his eyes away. Yorubas call it Oloju Kokoro. It means Oloju Kokoro. That's what it means. It's not Kokoro insect. It's, you keep looking at something, you didn't take your eyes away. Oloju Kokoro. You couldn't remove your eyes. Remove your eyes. Remove your eyes. Remove your eyes. He began to plot. He began to plot. He began to think, how do I get this girl? How do I get, you know, from seeing thoughts, he began to plot. Let's go to the movies together. Let's watch this movie in my car. I'm just coming to you for study group assignment. Why? Let's do it in church. Church is not so... I don't feel good doing something in church. In church? Your mind is working. Bro? Sis? Your mind is already calculated. You know the person stays alone. Then that's why you want to do study group assignment. What are you studying? Go to Brother John. He's also studying. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You don't say, you are going there and I say, I'm righteous of God. Righteousness is about to become righteous. Fred Price said, one time there was a woman who came to his office and she was barely covered. So her breast was really out. He said, Fred, you're dead. Fred, sir, Fred is coming alive. So he just got up and ran out. The woman said, Pastor Fred. He said, Pastor Fred is no longer there. Pastor Fred ran to his car. Hey! Are you here? Learn to run. Is that clear? Avoid conversations. Some begin to send some things on you on WhatsApp. You say, Oga, what is this for? No, I'm just being friendly. No, I'm not a baby. What do you want? No, we're just friends. What do you want? Let's eat out together. What are we eating? Be specific. Amen? What exactly do you want? Always ask the right question. Is it a sin? Eh? What do you want? I just like to be around you. Am I your hallowed paracletus? It's from club you enter, dance. Amen? Learn to run. Say, Oga, don't chat to me again. How old now? This offense. Yeah. It's not just fence. It's barbed wire. Don't chat. Say, it's a, you're walking in offense, so you're walking in strife. It's not strife. I'm running. Amen? Are you in church? So the way to meditate, to act, is to run. To run. You run with discipline. Caution is not legalism. Is that clear? No. You run. Let's look at another person. Judges 14. The man by the name of Samson. You run. And say, I wish you were here. To do what? No, to do what now? I just feel comfortable. I need to pour my heart. It's people that you pour. To pour my mind. Time to pour. What's in your heart? Go and tell pastor. Amen? Amen? And the problem is that your pastor is a woman. And you're a girl. And a woman, so say, hey, you know, she may not understand. What do you want to say? Just pouring my heart. Hallelujah. What is in your heart? You have been pouring for 1 month. What else? Like, just the way I feel. Why do you feel? Someone say, I'm going to kill myself. I said, you are not serious yet. You are telling me. You want to manipulate me. Eh? I said, look, I've tried it before. I didn't tell anybody. I was serious. This one that you are telling us, you want to manipulate us. Lord, you now come to her. Don't do this to yourself. I just feel I'm alone. From there, you begin to rub your back. Take it easy. I'm here for you. And you know what happens? I shouldn't give you ideas. I'm your pastor. Amen?
Amen.
Are you a church? Flee. Okay? Flee from the church. Okay, enough. What are these emoticons you are sending? This doesn't look like prayer. It's not leading of the Spirit. Amen? Are you there? Flee. Someone say flee. Dodges 14. I don't have more time, but I'm going to share much of it next week. Usually, you know, Samson, when we talk about Delilah, people oftentimes relate that story. I've taught you this before over the years. They think the issue with Delilah was the sex. Yes, that was there. Because obviously Samson had that licentious, you know, lifestyle of the flesh. But notice something critical that happened. Judges 16. I'll left this 14 for now. Now, when he was going, let me mention this quickly. When he was going to have a wife in 14, scripture says it was the Lord, verse 4, I'll talk about it next week, who wanted to use that relationship for his own glory. But when he came to Delilah, right, he saw a harlot, verse 1, Judges 16, and just went into her. No divine purpose, it was just sex. So he was now trying to get purpose from sex. It will never happen like that. Never. The first one, he said, go get me a wife. The Lord told him. This one, he went by himself. Pure lust. So what did he get out of it? He couldn't have gotten a supernatural purpose out of this. This is the daughter of the Philistines. And look at what happens. She now kept telling him, look at this. Verse 5. The Lord of the Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies. And by what means we prevail against him, that we bind him to afflict him and give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. By the time you build relationships with people that don't have a single respect for your spiritual values, what are you looking for? How did you meet? How? How did you meet that you don't talk about your Christian lives? Primarily. You know, there's a way you can just talk about, by the way, and all your conversation about the work of the ministry, the Christian life, Christian living is church. You and the person don't have that kind of conversation. That's what happens here. And so, you find people, they lay aside their Christian character, values and ministry and their Christian identity to get into relationships and looking for trouble. That is the story of Delilah. So she said to Samson, pray me, because there's already sex. And says, tell me, I pray thee, where thy great strength lies, where thou might be found to afflict you. You know, if you look at Bible language, it's an idiom. It doesn't mean, come, let me know where your power is. It's just investigating. Let me know everything about you. Things you have not told people. Ah, I said, it's me, the love of your life. Your one and only. And that kept happening. And you know, the thing about this relationship was so funny. Three times, Samson saw it that there was an ulterior motive. Three times he saw it. And in verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, either the devil has mocked me and told me lies, that's emotional blackmail. Tell me, where thou mayest be bound. He said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head with the web, she did it. Now look at 15. How can you say I love you and your heart is not with me? That's a line from a movie. How can you say that? You have mocked me this three times. You have not told me wherein your great sin lies. His eyes have been blinded. Came to pass. Now look at 16. She pressed him daily with her words. That is how you should know you are in trouble. Daily. With her words. Hodged him. So that his soul was vexed unto death. How are your relationships? Look at them. Daily. So he got tired. Look at 17. And he told her what? Oh. That means you're in trouble. What happened to Samson? He got into a relationship that had no honor for the call of God upon his life. And stupidly, right, sex now became a liberty, let's say a license, an access for much more disgrace and dishonor. And you find a man so strong becomes weak because he did not define his relationships. Who are you to me? And you have to do this from today. Who is this person? Well, I would like to go home in the car together. Why? What's the purpose? I'd like to come over to your house. I can stay over. Why? Let's watch movies together. Why? Always learn to ask why. So there's caution. Is not legalism. Do you hear me? Caution. Caution at work. This colleague of yours, this boss at work, and he said, put caution. Caution is not legalism. So in preventing this, you and I must feed ourselves. They often say diseases are mostly from food, bad diet, or lack of it. Same thing for the Christian life. We need to learn to feed not just on information, I'll close here, but also on the caution that comes in the Word. The caution. Caution on what we watch. Caution on what we hear. Suggestive things. Caution. Have you tried to preview movies that you watch? Or must you watch it first? You won't die. So this is the movie. Get the preview. What kind of rating does he have? And today, you know, you have the contents will be spelled out and you went ahead to do that. Caution. It says flee. It means caution. Always have caution. Are you there? Even those who are married. Put caution. Always know priority. I'll talk about that a bit more next week. Caution. Sometimes we can breed in our spouses habits
because of what we want. So, always put caution. There is nowhere you should not be spiritual. You didn't hear me? There's nowhere. So what friendships that don't want you to be spiritual? And this is not church now. This is not, this is, can't we be real? No. Can't we? No. Don't let a Delilah. Delilah can be a man, okay? Delilah can be in your, can be in your local church. Delilah can be somebody at your workplace. Can't we just be real? Ah, support this now. Every time you just say, and the person will say that, he has a point. This guy has a point. He has what he's saying. Let's be frank now. That's what happened to Samson. You must learn to flee. Is that clear? Continue next week. Blessed. Stand to your feet. Let's bless the Lord.